I've worked with this producer for over 17 years and have wiggled my way to the top of her list of X. Because we do a great job and we've built a friendship. And I've talked about how my database used to have over 1,000 producers and how I've whittled it down to around 50, and this person will never be off that list. Her history in this business is a dream. Started in the sales for a major liquor company and saw an opportunity to enter the world of corporate event sales and entertainment marketing. Worked with Avalon Entertainment in Nashville, which is where I first met her when we were doing some shows with them. And then went solo over, I forget how many years ago, but I'm going to have her tell this funny story. She was in Nashville, and she got an assignment to go and work in San Diego for a year, and I told her San Diego is not a place people leave. And but that was probably, 13, 14, 15 years ago, Cindy?
Yeah.
And still, I told her, and she goes, no, I'm just here for a year. My parents live in Nashville, and that's where I'm going to be. So anyway, you don't leave San Diego. So she went solo and built a huge business, very successful business, by building close relationships with both talent and choice clients, something we certainly talk about here, building relationships with choice clients. Her company is Smart Entertainment. She's created her own branded shows for corporate and events based on all kinds of great things. I mean, this is a great example of what I talk about looking at what your passions are, what society's talking about, where the juice is. And the juice on TV is about these Dancing with the Stars shows and celebrity chef shows. And she's built her own branded shows around for corporate events around those shows, using some of the stars from those shows. Brilliant idea. And Nashville Nights, the same thing with Nashville singers. Country singers. So I want to welcome from Smart Entertainment, my good friend and producer par excellence, Cindy Smart. You here?
I'm here.
Yay. Thank you. And you're
Thank you, buddy.
San Diego today, I take it.
Oh, it's stunning here right now.
Always, yeah. Good. Well, good. Hey, so Cindy, over the last, I can give you a little bit of context of where we're at, but this is week 9 of 9 weeks in a row we've been meeting on the phone, digging really deeply into the business of show business and blueprinting out, you know, what it takes to get people to bigger places. We've done a lot of work on working directly with clients, because that's where a lot of these people are at. And also it's just very good practice, I feel, for moving into working with producers is getting your feet wet and not blowing any relationships with producers. So I gave people a lot of homework along the lines of dealing with end clients at first. So I want to just dig into a conversation with you, and I know there will be some Q&A from the people on the call as we go on. But, you know, I know one of the biggest things an act can do to be seen, and one of the guys, Todd, just talked about being at a showcase and doing something live for buyers, is seeing an act live. You know, how can acts, what's the next best thing? Obviously, we're going to keep getting seen live as the number one thing, but what's the next best thing, or what are some other ways to impress a producer without seeing them? Any thoughts on that?
If you nowadays, you have to have a video. I cannot sell anything without a video. And it even come to the point where I've got local ballroom dancers when they can't afford Dancing with the Stars, and I'll send them a video, and they'll say, this isn't good enough. We need something bigger and more professional, and which I think is a little ridiculous. If you're going to buy a $1,000 act, you're looking for huge TV creds, and it's like, that's just not how it works. But video is the key, and they are absolutely spoiled with it. And it has to be a video that does not have any contact information. A few years ago, my clients were all, well, most of them were the direct corporation or the event company that had dedicated their business to that corporation. And right now, a lot of my clients are DMCs and event companies. So even if I had a client that I trusted, and it wouldn't be the end of the world if I sent them a video with contact information, I still never want to open that door. But the DMCs and event planners will never, ever do that, because they're often bidding with other companies. So one company could say, well, I like that one talent idea from PRA, but yeah, I would rather hire Access, and then we'll just ask Access to get that act, and I've got his email right here. So they will never send it out with contact information. So I think you absolutely have to have a video.
Okay. Yeah, and then can you think of somebody who you saw on video? Was it ever good enough to just hire them and get them into kind of your inner circle?
Oh, yeah.
Have you had
a lot of the act is going to be video, because I don't have have the time or the means to go see everybody live. Once I see someone live, I mean, you know the effect.
Once
you see someone live and you like them, you have such passion about that act, you can talk it up. I've called people from shows and I said, I found your act for next year because I knew it was the right fit and the right quality. And once I see them and get excited, then they go on every proposal when it's that category and that price range, is every proposal. And the client has to see a video. And I've got some great acts and smaller, there's a smaller comedian out of Florida, and he quotes under 2,000, and he can absolutely headline and do improv all day long, but I could sell him without his video. Once they saw him, literally they would hire him 5 or 6 or 7 times within the company, but the new companies won't touch him because they don't know what he's going to do, and they can't see it.
And he does. You're saying this person doesn't have a video good enough to sell himself?
No. I mean, there's a couple little things. There's a few things I've seen that are okay, that if they will trust me, and it's better than what they've seen with, you know, the other videos, I think if they like him better, then it's a possibility. But it's almost impossible to tell anybody without a video, especially if it's a comedian, because they want to make sure that they're clean and they're good enough and that they'll reflect well on their company.
Good. And then you've come to San Diego to see us just when I'm working for another entertainer. I mean, as a producer, do you think are you comfortable doing that? If someone's invited,
and
I think that's done
with
the industry.
Yeah, as long as your corporate client will allow that, because your corporate client might be one of my competitors. But I've never turned down a competitor from coming to one of my shows because it's very clear that they're not trying to get your business or snake them away.
Yeah.
But I have had some people that were concerned. It's more the client thing. It's a private event, and
that's
we don't
right.
want anyone we don't know on property. So as long as they can give permission, then it's a great way to see it. That way I can go to the client and go, I've seen this act, they're fabulous, and I don't ruin my reputation by recommending someone who really falls short because that could cost me the whole client.
Good. So, you know, that's something I put in my rider capacity for up to 8 guests to arrive, and very few times has it ever been crossed out, and it just lets people know that might happen. And, certainly something to talk about, so I encourage you guys to have that in a rider, and also use that. If you have a show at a good place, see who's in town and invite people in. You know, just let's really start looking at not doing every bit of work ourselves, but multiplication of a producer, as you can hear, Cindy's got, you know, these choice clients. And I imagine the passion in your voice of when you call somebody from backstage and you're like, I've got your act. They're like, okay, good, sign them up. You know, they trust you, and it's like, you know, it's not like, oh, send me a video, let me meet him. You're like, oh, no, this is good. So, yeah, what a gift for that act to have that inspiration of you calling a client right there. Good. Hey, so, you know, along the lines of having a good video, do you expect or even ever want any more, or is this all gone by the wayside, any hard copies of promo materials? People be spending their money on that?
I can't take it. They don't want it. They use it, the excuse that they're going green, and I'm really, honestly, I don't always buy it. It's just they don't want the clutter. They want the ease of the video, and they want it now. Nobody wants to wait for anything. You got to have it on hand. What we are doing right now from now to the end of the year is trying to update every database. So if we get a call for a comedian, a magician, a local dance band, they have to have it. We have to have it right now because I will get calls from especially DMZs, and they'll need it within the next couple hours or by noon the next day. Now, it's not important to headline act. They know. They know who Katy Perry is. They know who Leno is. But for anyone that's not known, who everybody knows their name, they've got to have it. I don't have time to call 10 people I might want to work with, get them on the phone, or have them respond to an email with a video clip. Watch the video clip to make sure the quality's there of the act, the quality of the taping, and that there's no contact information, and, you know, that there's it's clean. So I don't have time to do that. So I want to build a library and have it at my fingertips because that is what is expected of us right now.
Cool.
And
would you be interested?
Then you're not on the proposal. And my event company said, please send us all your stuff because we do not have time to call people when we get an urgent request. So I'm trying to put it in the hands of event planners. Here are my best comedians for $10,000 and under. And so when you get called for a proposal, you've got the name, the price range, and a video link, and we're done. And that's enough to get it out there. We can do details later, availability later. They have to have it at their fingertips.
And would you be up for looking at videos from 15 people who have studied how to do this properly for 10 weeks?
Absolutely.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but I want to just
let
you know. I want to let you know that these guys are doing exactly that. And I know you mentioned the word clean, and that's above all. I mean, I've lost jobs for not being clean enough, and I admit that freely. But, you know, gotta be who I am, and I hear that. Hey, so let me ask you something. Yeah, exactly. I do. I know how to play it. How do you, I know it's difficult in the world, old style cold calling and getting into people, getting past gatekeepers. I guess what I want to ask you around that is, how do you treat kind of like a personal recommendation of an act from another act that you already trust? Is that something that could go a long way for you, or I mean, do you still feel like the need to see somebody live, or?
Well, if somebody recommended another act, then I would, that's a great way to open the door. And then at that point, my next step would be to look at the video and to know the price range they were in so I could, again, put them on my master list. So when someone called and needs something specific, database built. So yeah, that would absolutely, anything that lends credibility.
Okay. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. You know, we certainly talked about networking and looking at what we have already available to us. As far as business contacts, as far as people we know in the industry, other producers we've worked for, this whole thing is about pushing ourselves to get outside of our comfort zone, and we're going to do that by looking at the connections we have. I mean, that's one of the real blocking points for people, not feeling comfortable reaching out. And I mean, here's Cindy saying, hey, get a recommendation from somebody. You know, and that brings me to thinking about testimonials, either video or written testimonials. Where do those play into a role as far as you having a big client and then being able to look at four or five testimonials from people that are in their similar job roles, similar positions in the company? Are those would you consider very helpful, and also video versus written?
I think it's very helpful to have that when you're looking. No one's going to spend a lot of time looking at an ad unless it's specifically looking at that. If you're just kind of saying, who's out there, who's good, who should I add to my list? Everyone wants it quick and urgent, and you just have to adapt to that. So if you were to send a one-page, promo sheet with photo, this is what I do, here's a couple quotes from people. They were fantastic. We loved it. Best act we've ever had, from Eckerd Druck, from Microsoft, from American Airlines. What that does is it tells me, it brings to light the corporations you've worked for. So if I know that you're doing shows for Coca-Cola at their annual convention, of 10,000 or whatever, that's going to go, wow, they really are doing good stuff. I will pay more attention to that act than if it's something less than that. So anything that can lead to credibility is going to be helpful. And video testimonials, I've got a few posted on my website, but I've started filming those just in case. And whether anyone looked at them or not, the fact that they're there, that you got, for example, I have someone from Comcast giving a testimonial, someone from PGA of America. I've got two of the dance pros from Dancing with the Stars talking about how much they like to work with us. And people may watch them, they may not, but the fact that they're there in a small percent will look at them. Again, it will lend to the credibility, and it will tell them that, wow, they must be something special. Look at all the people that are hiring them. Look at the people that are bragging about them and have had a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I did a show in Orlando for 6,500 Walmart managers from all over the country, and yeah, brought in three or four different producers from Orlando. And in writing, we always say, "Don't tell somebody, show somebody." So I guess, and testimonials really fall right into that. You're showing them instead of telling them. Go ahead.
Just that fact, I could go, if I was, like you're in a proposal now to someone, so if they were talking about different things, that would be a story that I might tell. It wouldn't be on the sheet, the list I have right now is your name in a video clip. But if they were saying, well, we're going to narrow it down, do you really think they'd be right for us? Well, a couple of months ago, they were at Walmart in front of 6,500 people, and they got a standing ovation. When you can tell the stories, that's very powerful. It's more powerful to tell the stories and say, they're really good. You'll like them. They'll be a huge hit. But when you say, well, they just performed in front of Walmart for 6,500 and got a standing ovation, and that led to them going to regional accounts after that. You told the story, so you've got an example of the credibility. You dropped a name. Mm-hmm. You told them that they're good in big audiences, and they think that they're getting something huge. They're going to be a lot more likely to say, gosh, I want someone who can play Walmart, and even especially if their budget is on the smaller end, because you need something just to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And you guys, let me take a second just to tie that back around to something we talked about. We talked about in our conversation around our talk around conversational cold calling. We talked about not going in with the mindset of closing a sale, but going in with the mindset of serving, and building trust, and having a conversation to see if there's a fit. I mean, and this is exactly what Cindy does. Just by having these stories at her fingertips, she's not pushing one act over another. She's able just to continue the conversation to let her client know that she's looking to serve them, make sure they have the best event possible, and she's offering anecdotal stories that support that. know, it's not a hard sale that, yeah, you should buy these guys because of. It's like, and you all have stories. We all have stories like that that can work into a conversational, a cold call once we know, you know, what a client does, what a producer does. We have stories that we can use that don't push the mindset of I'm trying to close a deal with you, but I'm trying to paint a picture for you of a solution, and that's it. And it stops just before the hard close sailing. So, gosh, Cindy, I have so many directions I could go in on this. You know, you've worked with so many acts over, how long have you been running Smart Entertainment? I thought it was in the 15-year range, maybe more.
It's, yeah, it's close to 15 right now.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I first met you, I thought I had that much hair. You know, anything's more now. Hey, so what can an act do? You've used some acts, I know, throughout that whole time in your year, in your career, because I'm one of them, but what can an act do to have you really take notice and move themselves up to your kind of top tier?
Well, the main thing is, in the beginning, is coming in with some credibility and having, you know, being a quality act, having giving me the video and the price range and all of that. If I call someone and say, I've got a client looking, you know, at you, what is your fee? And the worst thing you can say is, how much do they have? And, oh, I get so mad when I hear that, because clearly they're operating from a place of grief, you know, and I don't like that at all. And from that moment on, I don't trust them. So unless I get a specific request, I probably will not pursue that person, because I know them and or their agent or rep is really not, you know, I don't think that they're playing fair. I need a good video and the price range, and then once I see you live, then I know what I'm selling. And then it really depends if I like you, because life is too short to work with people that you don't like. I need to like you. Your act has to kill. Of course, being professional, and then being responsive to our request, because we're working with a lot of people right now. And one thing we're doing is working with celebrity chefs and from Top Chef, and they're not used to the corporate world. And sometimes it's very hard to get from them. And if they're difficult to work with, if they're not responding, if we go to contract and they keep asking for more stuff that we didn't agree to, then more than likely will not hire them again unless I really honestly need to, because they're just that good that I will dread it. And if I can find someone better, I'll move on to them. We recently worked with a hypnotist that we had never worked with before. And every time we sent an email or a request, it was immediate response. He sent us everything we needed and more. We had his introduction, when he wanted the break, what he wanted the voiceover to say before the break, how the stage should be set up, the timing, the number of chairs on the stage, his high risk photo for print, a video that was agent friendly, all agent friendly material. We had it instantly, and anytime we had a question for him, he was on it. And it's like, well, when do you want to meet and talk about the show in a conference call? He said, let's do it now. I don't want to wait till close the show. I want to do everything in advance. He was a dream to work with. So that, I think, will really be endearing, because if we have to wait a couple days to hear back from you, first of all, you probably won't be on our proposal, because we'll have to move on to someone else. And it's not us driving this. It's people saying, can I get tomorrow? It's, we're just responding to what the end client needs. And if you can't give it to us, or we don't have it, then you're probably going to miss that opportunity. And we all know that the smallest show could lead to the biggest client of your life.
Do they ever, man? Yeah. Well, I that ties so into why I really want you guys to practice over the last couple of weeks with the customized video introductions, the, you know, all this stuff on end clients. They're one-timers, you know, and you can find them and use them, and yeah, they'll turn into gigs. And then once you have that down and it's a little tighter and you're comfortable with your conversational cold calls, you know, then let's move to the folks like Cindy and, you know, producers who have fingers in dozens and hundreds of pies. I didn't want you to come right into this world, and I think you can hear the importance of just really hardcore professionalism and, you know, what it can do to producers. I mean, it not only made Cindy take notice of this act, but it made it when she was, you know, asked a week or two later about what can an act do to have you take notice, man. She just talked about this one guy. So, I mean, that's huge. Be that person. Definitely be that person. Yeah. Hey, do you like talking on the phone to new potential acts? You know, and I know you have a gatekeeper at your office. Is there something someone can do, or is that something you prefer not to do, is to talk to somebody? How would you like to be introduced to a new act?
I prefer not to. I have all my, yeah, any talent is going through my production coordinator this year. And she handles kind of the talent base, unless it's a headline and the stuff that I've been working on forever.
Yeah.
She handles all the new talent. I don't have time. And it is irritating. And maybe it's just me, just because I'm pulled in so many different directions. If I was doing maybe only focusing on a certain price range, but I mean, I'm selling acts from a solo guitarist, you know, up to Bon Jovi, you know, in Maui. So I'm looking at all spectrums, though. I don't have time to do it. And when I meet someone and I'll say, you know, can I get a price on this? We're looking at this date. And like, they'll email me back, and here's our link, and here's our client friendly link. And then they'll call, they'll want to talk about it. Well, you know, what do you think about hiring us? And at this point, I'm not looking for a Van Halen tribute band, but they would keep calling, and if the gatekeeper's not here and I'll talk to them, I really don't have 10 minutes to sit on the phone to listen about how great it is. I'm sure they are, but you know, I'll be surprised if I sell one Van Halen tribute band ever. But the fact that they've got me, that I might have asked about a Billy Joel tribute before, but someone didn't have the money but wanted to do something different, you know, I just can't do it. So that is irritating to me. And as far as emails, when I get emails that are just email blasts, saying stuff, nothing new, every 2 weeks or 4 weeks, I will block them. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a flyer about Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, and then there's some lotto expert, and I'm getting faxes and emails like once a week, and we're calling them saying stop, and I'm never going to recommend that person unless someone says, please, I want to hire a lottery expert. I am so irritated with them. It's bad materials. It's nothing new. It's just, I'm stuck on a list. You know, at this point, you're wasting my ink in the printer. Quit asking me the stuff. But if you contact me and I ask for information, that's fine. If I check on a bill for a date, it's always appropriate if you want to, you know, call back and say, I mean, email back and just say, what happened with the November 10th date? That's just courtesy me saying, oh, it went in another direction, or our event company didn't get that gig. If you don't hear from a chance, or you didn't get it. And then a couple of months from now, if you're going to be featured on Comedy Central or you got a new video, absolutely send it. I take those and I put them in a file, an email file that just says artist. If it's someone that I'm like, oh, I really like to promote them, I want to see their new video, I'll look at it. If it's someone that I don't know if I want them, I'll put them in the file knowing I can research it later. But don't send me the same old stuff, because if you do too much, then I'll block it as junk mail. I mean, so it's a balance, and I can't tell you the right answer, but sometimes I'll get an email going, oh yeah, I was looking for something like that. But it just can't be too often. I appreciate it if you're not in my face and you know, wasting my time.
Wonderful. Let me talk to you about the difference between you and your talent coordinator. Is there, you know, that is the person who is the first step to you, I imagine, is that person. Is there a proper level of, you think, communication, and is it a little more deeper than you have time for with that person in the position of, say, your talent coordinator? Is that someone that an act could look at possibly doing a little bit of more of a deeper conversation, sharing some of their particular skills and credits with? Or do you feel like that's not even a person that you want spending time talking to acts?
Well, I mean, I disagree. We don't need to know too much just because we're not going to remember that many specifics about each act.
Right.
But if you were to call and say, you know, I've got this, I'm a juggling team, and this is what we've done, I would love to see some information. And she may say, great, make sure it's agent-friendly, and please include a price range and what you would need and all of that. And if we get that complete information at that point, we're going to watch the video and then put you on. If we like it, we're going to put you on our master list. So before this call, I just went in there and I said, I need magicians and illusions between 10 and 20,000. Send me what you got. So she's going to go to a template that we've done through past proposals, and she's going to pull out everyone in that price range to sell between 10 and 20,000, and it's going to be that person, and in this circumstance it would be a brief description and then a video, and she's going to pull that together and send it to me. We're not going to reach out, we're not going to recreate the wheel, but if you call her and you say, I've got a great illusionist friend, you know, Barry's recommended some illusionist to me, so they're in our database, so that's something that we might add to it. And then I've already got templates or proposals for comedians within that same price range, so I'm just going to take a look at those at my master list and maybe edit it out and say, who would be the right fit for this group? So, for example, there's some shows in Boston, and there's a comedian that I know of who's great out of New Hampshire. He is going to be at the top of my list because I think it would be a great fit for this. And so that's how we're going to do it. So when you call and give her your information, she's going to say, please put it in writing, because honestly, I've got over like 1,000 acts and artists and everything in our database. There's no way we can keep it all straight. But if you'll give it to us in good information, that's advice that we can use as agent friendly, if you make it easy on us, then we can put it on the thing. If you say, well, there's a 20-minute video, and I'm 10 minutes in, you know, something like that, or I can't get a clear idea of your pricing, I won't know where to put you on a proposal, therefore I won't. Because I don't want to say you're 5 to 10,000 if you're really the team. I don't want to be embarrassed to say I can't deliver what I've quoted to you, the client.
I hope you guys are hearing in this. Really, the big message is, you know, make it easy. Pretend you were Cindy. Pretend you were the producer having to deal with all this data, and really serving them up something that makes it so easy for them to put you on their proposals. And I actually want to talk about that in a second. Can you touch on kind of what current trends are, you know, here in this time right now with acts in various price ranges, you know, 5K, 10K? And I know you're not doing much under 5K or probably even 10K, but do you have some feel from the industry where acts are, and then, you know, under 25, under 50, and then over 50? What's going on right now?
Well, I am getting more that are in the lower price range because of the stigma of a big corporation, you know, wasting money. You know, you can't go to a corporate event and where half the sales force has been laid off and say, ladies and gentlemen, Bon Jovi's, because the first thing in their head is, you know, my buddy could have kept a job had if they had taken some of Bon Jovi's money and kept them on for another year. So I think it's a good time for the smaller acts. And what we're doing, like you said before, I'm kind of looking at, you know, what's new and what's different. It's always, you know, give me new ideas. And so that's why I went into chef. People may not have money for, quote, entertainment, but I can bring in a celebrity presence for them. They may not want to feature a headliner, but no one's going to say, wow, you really blew the budget on Jungle Boy, which is what I like to
hear. Yeah, right,
so,
right, exactly.
They may do that. So I am seeing, I've got quite a few proposals out now that are $25,000 and under. Okay. And because it's a, you know, it's a good amount, they can afford it, it doesn't make a bad impression, they're still giving quality entertainment, and there are plenty of acts out there that are $3,000 to $5,000 that are great. You know, maybe they haven't, you know, they haven't become famous yet, but the quality is there. And I try to lead them to the quality acts. Like, here's where you'll get the most bang for your buck. And I will. I was writing an email today, and I said I recommend comedians within the $10,000 to $20,000 price range because you get more bang for your buck. That budget could not pay airfare if they wanted to bring in a band. It couldn't even touch it. So I always say it's a great value. And when I say comedians, I also, you know, that incorporates also the visual acts and the illusionists and any. Anything like that, because it's one or two people, so therefore the rider expenses and travel expenses are minimal. So you really get the bulk of your money in the actual person, and so you get a lot more for your money. So I often do that, and I love working with comedy, and it's not only easier, but if someone's got $65,000, they can bring in Kevin Nealon, where they couldn't afford to bring in even a band like Three Dog Night, because it wouldn't cover it once you get the technical and the sound and the rooms and the hotel and the airfare for the band and all of that. So I think that you're spending the majority of your money on talent. So I do recommend, like the people that are on your call, those are the ones I'm going to go to first. Okay? This is where we're going to really focus. My recommendations are going to feature these people.
See, you had mentioned something about three to five acts, and some of the people here are on that, in this call, or in that range. And literally, I tell them they're in that range because that's where they've told themselves they're worth right now. And there's some truth to that. The jump from 2,500 to five is not a huge jump. Especially in the league you're playing in. I mean, it's all on the same budget pretty much. I mean, it's all in the same proposal in that range. You know, so a $3,000 to $5,000 act, if they, you know, did what you talked about this hypnotist doing and, you know, really just being on top of things, and that goes a long way in securing them positions in that price range, even if they're in there, you know, acting like a bigger price act as far as how they handle the business side of it.
Yeah, it's all good. If we can trust you and you're professional and you're great, and I mean, it's a confidence to go, wow, this is, we can't believe we got you for such a good price.
Yeah.
And knowing that
you're
worth more. But yeah, I've got great acts that are in that price range, and they should get more, but like one person, if he just marketed himself a little bit better, if he would give me a killer video, I mean, anything, I could really, it would pay for itself immediately.
Yeah.
And I can't get him to do it. Well, and, if, you know, he could easily be pulling in five, and he's quoting me under 50. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Spend the money on a video, market it, and let go for that. The clients are, you know, it goes both ways. But we've got more money than that. We want someone bigger. But some people want a name, and they've got $10,000, and that's got to include my expenses, everybody's travel, whatever profit is in there, ground transportation. So, I mean, I like to find great acts out of that. And I tell everybody, I'll tell my clients, if you've got $5,000, call me.
Have
your budget to get an act.
Sure, because like you just said, for an act, you don't know if a small show is going to end up being your next biggest client. So it serves you well to really serve anyone who you can.
Oh, yeah. And if you're happy with that, oftentimes it'll lead to multiple shows within the corporation because the corporations, they've got regional meetings, they've got different national meetings, they've got client meetings. There's so many divisions. So there's one client, they do, you know, 6 or 8 different meetings a year. And if they like somebody, they can hire them over and over again.
Right, right.
So
different audiences.
It worked out well with the improv. I pulled from the improv that worked with Drew Carey and that were on Whose Line. And the beauty of that was there was a little bit of overlap in the audience and the company. But by hiring the improv, literally, 3 times within 2 months, we knew we were going to get 3 different shows. And
right.
even though there was some overlap, it was never the same material.
Or people, probably.
Yeah, and even though 30% of the people were the same audience, they still got a different show. So we were able to do that.
Let me ask you, a few weeks ago we talked about producers and working with producers, and I recommended a strategy that I'd used before, and it worked well, and somebody on this call used it, and the person actually just kind of turned it down. But say an act was in the $5,000 range, what would your reaction be if a new act, either established, professional, just someone you've never worked with, had pretty much closed a deal and then sent the client to you just to do the contract and close that deal to get into your inner circle, how would you take that?
I would be flattered. If someone like if you said, Cindy, Walmart wants to get a contract with me, will you handle the deal? That introduces me to Walmart. I pitch you all the time, but if they want something else, then I'm
yeah.
able to be, you know, a resource. And under those circumstances, and I would say I would like to pay you a referral fee for bringing a client into that. So I think that would be that would be a good thing, but you know, it's a little interesting because of what did you price them and what would I do and all of that. So I guess it could go either way. But if it was someone that I knew, you know, that they were doing it for the right reasons and everything, I would say, well, thank you for introducing me to Walmart, because not only have we hired you, they're going to bring me in for their next 4 shows, and
exactly.
I'm the one to share my profits with you. So that's something
yeah.
I would do. So I would
interesting.
Thrilled.
And it may have been
it may have been
the price range this guy was in. He was in a lower price range, and maybe it wasn't worth the risk or something. But I've certainly done that with producers. I did it with one in Orlando that I've done dozens of shows with so far, but literally wanted to get in with them, had a deal worked out with an end client, and sent them just to that producer to close the deal. And it was a great introduction. So I offered that strategy up, and it didn't work so well for one person, and I want you just to know that it could have been a matter of the price range, and it could have been a matter of that person not understanding really what you were offering them. So that may have been something I can explain a little bit better. So I wanted just to hear from you kind of how that would sit with you if that happened.
Well, for example, if you said, Cindy, I want to partner with you in any show I work on that doesn't already have a producer, I want to bring you in so you will know them, because I know they do a lot of talent, but they clearly are not going to hire us for every show. Then
yeah.
then I would become a profit center for you. Then I would say, okay, I'll do that. And any time I sold a show for them, Barry would be getting a check and wouldn't be performing. He would always be top on the list of a comedy act, but you would get a referral fee. So I'm working with event companies right now for that exact reason, because I can increase their profit center, and literally they don't have to do anything but give me the lead, and then they get checked. There are about 4 people that I paid over $100,000 to in referral fees just by saying,
yeah.
I know the head guy that's doing the Oracle show, or a company of that level. And then, you know, if I've got that show, then I would rather overpay you and thank you for the referral fee than anything, because I wouldn't have that if it weren't for the lead and for you. You know, you've recommended me, and it led to more business for both of us. So this
is a great thing to keep in mind. Yeah.
yeah,
I mean, this is a great thing to keep in mind. What we're doing is we're serving these producers. I mean, we're helping their business too. We're not only vendors. We can also become really amazing business partners. And I want to encourage the person who's on this call who had that experience to not think that's the reality of that, but to not to think anything's a reality. Right? When you guys get to have some experience, that's that reality. It doesn't mean it's the reality, and I want you to really just keep sticking with what we're talking about here and not blow it off. Yeah, it's easier to kind of blow it off and say, hey, I'm not going to do that again. It didn't work, and that's selling yourself short. I want to offer you that. Hey, so I have a question, and let me just try and get this into words, and if it's not clear, I can clear it up, hopefully. Do you have an example of someone that went from just kind of a cold introduction of himself or herself to you? Maybe you saw them live. Maybe they just got into your inner circle through a video or recommendation. To then becoming someone you sell regularly, is there any way that we can kind of blueprint out the steps of what that person did?
You know, I can't give you any specific examples, but what I can tell you is after I saw them live, then I told everybody about them when they did a good job and I saw them live. One band, it's not the exact example, but several years ago, there's a band called the World Classic Rockers, which is a compilation of all these different rock stars. And when I was with Avalon, they were just launching, and they said, go cover this show. This is a brand new idea, and see what you think. And after I produced their show and saw them live, I sold them to every client I had. So once I saw them and got excited and kept playing it and talked about it, I did that. So it was kind of a cold call, but as far as people coming in through the internet, even someone, Barry, that called me after our last conversation, after the last conference call I did, one person called and just wanted to talk about, wanted to take a few minutes of my time and talk about things and get my advice, and I was happy to do it. And he sent me itself. Now, I really kind of got about him, ran into him at one of my shows. An illusionist brought him in, and he was a judge and brought him in, and he came up to me and said, I'm the one who called you, and since then, I've already hired him. But even though that introduction, I mean, I wasn't looking for a juggler, but because he was a part of the show, I was able to do that and then bring him into another job later that really wasn't even within his price range, but he did it for very little money just so I could see him, and so he is top of mind so I can put him on future proposals. So even though I didn't do it, when he made the connection, I got excited that I knew him. He had a great act. I met with him that night, hired him, and then we sat down and talked again, and we're still in touch.
Yeah,
so even
right.
It was a nice introduction. Now, I would have liked his act when I saw it, even if I hadn't met him through Barry, but because I did, I took it those extra steps, and now he's someone that we want to promote.
Yeah,
so that it definitely had the credibility. And I wasn't looking for a juggler, but once I saw him, I said, well, you may not be interested, but I've got a low-paying gig, but it will put you in front of some event planners in Phoenix, and it'll give you, if you want to spend the weekend in Phoenix, and we'll cover all of your
expenses
and all of that. And he did it for next to nothing. And but, he's someone that I absolutely will put out there anytime I can because he's that good. So that helps.
Yeah. Okay. I have him writing down a question. Okay. So, I mean, again, it goes back to, seeing somebody live first is great, but also just that he put a bug in your ear about starting any kind of a rapport and at least knowing your name when he saw you. It was a great thing for both of you to be able to call back to. So, yeah, I want to find ways to help people with that more. And that takes me to the idea of kind of advertisement, a trade advertisement. Do you read any of that, and do you think it actually helps? And it was like Corporate Entertainment Magazine is constantly sending me things to advertise in there. Is that something that comes into your world?
I have used it as a resource. It's not my main resource, but if I'm looking for new stuff or something different, I'll thumb through. And, for example, Flip Orley. I keep seeing stuff for Flip Orley. I'll get an email from Flip Orley. I've never hired him, but yesterday I sent a message to him to my production person. I said, find the guy because someone asked me for a hypnotist, now it's in my head, are there people, the guy we hired was good, but he wasn't a comedy hypnotist, and I thought it was such the perfect venue to introduce comedy in that I wanted to find someone. So he's someone that I kind of remember, I've never worked with, but I've seen his name pop up for years. But if I was sitting here going, who can I find that new, I might go grab that magazine and thumb through. I don't know how worthwhile it is. It's just like every once in a while someone will find me on the internet for a big show, and it's like, wow, how did that happen? So the more you put out there, I don't know how viable it is as far as is it worth your money. I mean, I've even done some trade shows, and I don't know that I've gotten really anything from there, but it has put me in the top of mind of a few people. So it's one way to do it. It hasn't, I mean, who knows? I might find someone through a magazine ad. It's possible. I know that there's showcases and there's entertainment industry things, and seeing people on a showcase, I forgot what it used to be called, but the ones I'm talking about.
Of course,
So seeing a band there, the bands I saw the last time I went, I do remember and I have sought out. So again, seeing them live, I've only been to one of those meetings, but the bands and the acts I saw there made an impression. And a few of them I have sought out. And so that was a good thing to do with the showcase. I think that was very much worthwhile.
There was
a meeting last week. There was something in Nashville last week, but I had a show, so I didn't pursue it. But the people I saw the showcase, definitely, I would look toward. There's a band that I've seen. I put them on proposals. I've hired them because I saw them at the showcase.
Okay. So, showcases are still worthwhile. I've done a lot of them. There's an article on Get More Corporate Gigs you guys can watch all about showcasing, and I You know, and I do stand by the fact of what Cindy has reiterated a number of times, that, you know, there's nothing nothing better than being seen live, and there are other ways in that that we're working on here in case you can't be seen live. It's not a reason to stop at all. It's easier to stop, yeah, but it's not what I'm telling you we need to do here. Okay.
Can we see if the guys have some questions here for a little bit and see if everybody wants to ask? You stop
Misha?
And
yeah, okay.
You stop talking and see if any of them.
Thank you.
Have any?
Yeah, jump in, guys, if you have something. I know a couple hands. You guys may have put hands. Yeah, put hands up, in fact, if you want to.
Yeah.
So Sarah knows who's doing what.
You're on, Dave. I've got your mic on.
Yeah, my first question is Sarah okay? It's been like an hour and 15 minutes now, so I'm just kind of curious.
That's right. It's way over time. That's right.
I'm actually doing good today. Thanks, though.
Nice. Yeah, thanks for checking.
This is Dave Davlin from San Antonio, Texas, and concerning the demo reel, you talked a little bit about that. My question is, can you have a contact-free web page that contains the demo reel? Is that effective, and would that be something someone like in your position would use?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. In fact, I've done that with Dancing with the Stars and also Top Chef. I have their own website, and I've got one that all it has at the bottom is my email address, and I've got one that's agent-friendly. So if I'm sending it to a client, I send them that web page with the email, and if not, I send it, and especially the event company can use it as a resource. So that's something that I've done because it's easy to say, oh, just go to their website, because I can't send them to my website, and they can say, here, click on this video link. But if you say, oh, here is a website of the act I told you about, but there's no contact information on it, I think that's perfect. That's one of my favorite things.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Cindy, I sent you a link for a screen share. I don't know if you clicked on that in your email. But this, what Dave just asked, goes, if you see in your email, you can click on it.
I clicked on something, but I'm not really sure what I'm looking at. It's just all consultation results is where it's at me.
It should, yeah. Is anyone else seeing the screen share? It says Eagles Talent. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are seeing it. So, Cindy, let me send you that link one more time just so you can see it. But I think what you're talking about, let me email this one more time real quick. Cindy Smart.
Can we go to the next question, or do you want me to hold off a minute?
Yeah, hold off one second. I want to Cindy, check your email. You should see the screen. This is just a link in there to click on. But I think what Cindy's talking about, this is something we covered in a piece a few weeks ago. This is a customized landing page, and I want Cindy to see this. I think I had one of these for Smart Entertainment over the years. I could probably dig up two. But here's one where it's basically just Eagles Talent. I customized a one sheet literally for that production company for them to use. It's got their name on the top, branded with their name and logo. It's got our video, some stuff like that, and all the email contacts to it are about them. It also has a link that goes to a more agent-friendly site. Did you see it, Cindy? Does it come on?
Yeah, I've got it.
Perfect. So, yeah, I mean, is that something you're talking about, like, for your Dancing with the Stars show? They did something like this?
Yeah, I've got a .biz website.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it's got several. The Top Chef is just one, but you just scroll down, and the Dancing with the Stars has different pages on it.
Well, so this is a site. This is a site you actually produce for them.
Yeah. I
gotcha.
It's like you're telling your guys to do that, but when Dave just asked, would that be useful? And I said, absolutely. In fact, I've done that, and I did it for, for the brand that I'm kind of featuring, the program that we created and branded.
Perfect. And do you have any comments about something like this? This is something I've created for dozens of producers that I work with. It's just a customized landing page for them. It's in a separate directory on my server. And I know people have used these to sell shows. It's taking a one sheet into a very electronic and personalized, customized age.
Yeah, no, I think it's great.
It's something like this, and maybe Dave is talking about something like this, really easy to stamp out quickly. Okay, good. Hey, there was another question, I think, Sarah?
Yeah, Steve, you're on. You've got your hand up.
Yeah, I'm wondering, so a video proposal to you, is that, do you want to see a montage video, or are you looking for, do you ever look at the full act? That's been a question a lot of acts have. Did they want to see a 2-minute, or do they want to see the 30-minute or 40-minute?
The best ones I've seen back in the day when we were working on the Rafinha Brother videos, the way that they started it, they had so much TV spot. You had a Carson thing, Ladies and Gentlemen, the Rafinha Brothers, and it would go on in a mini montage, and then it would do their act. And I still think that's the most powerful. I looked at one for an Illusionist a day or two ago, and it was a total movie trailer. And, you know, with the music and the booming and the professional voice and all about the things he had done. And at the end of it, I said, that was great. What does he do? I've heard he's great. great. Here he is. I'll see him on TV. It never showed me what he did. I had to search through YouTube to find out what he did. So clearly I really wanted to present this guy or I would have never gone to that trouble. So I think that a combination is good. If you've got, you know, if you're juggling in front of the president, I think it was Ronald Reagan, if you're juggling for Ronald Reagan, absolutely put that at the front of your video because it lends to your credibility and the quality of your act. And then after that, they want to see what they're going to get. And back then it was all the VCR tapes and we were shooting for around a 7 minute, but nowadays you don't need, it could be half that long and be fine.
Yeah.
Again, people don't take the time to look at things like they used to, but if you got something that's a montage that lends to your credibility and what you've done and makes you look better, then do it. But I need to see, or they need to see exactly what they're going to get. And there's plenty of YouTube videos that are funny that are a minute long. I prefer that longer, but a lot of people are watching these videos and then being on, so they'll forward them to other people. So I think it's a nice combination. If you got it, want it.
Can you just touch on length? You said, you know, three and a half minutes. Is that an acceptable length for selling a,
you know. I mean, I think that's on the shorter side, but really, after you watch a video for about 5 minutes, you're like, you get it. Within the first few minutes, you know.
Yeah,
quality,
maybe even 30 seconds. Yeah.
But you do want to see a little bit of their act or what they're doing. So I don't believe, you know, I think even though 7 used to be the magic number, just because things are so different now and everything is so instant and quick, then I think that you could go lower. But, I mean, I would be happy with a 5-minute video compilation on there, or if someone had this killer 3.5-minute set that they did on one of the TV shows. Even that would be enough. I mean, you don't have to have the intro and everything. If you've got something to say, that's the place to do it. But if you've got a killer 3.5-minute, then that shows you in the act and what you got. So that wouldn't be bad. If people are saying, I don't understand who these people are, show me their stuff, then they've got a snippet of what they're going to get at their show.
Yeah, right. You got any follow-up to that, Steve, or is that?
So I guess the question is, do you ever then, after you've seen the 3-minute, do you solicit from that act a longer version, or is it that point that you see them live? Do you bother with the middle step of seeing a longer version of their show on tape,
you know,
or
only,
on video?
Only if the client says, only if the client wanted to see more. At that point, I'm pretty satisfied that I've got the quality of the act and I know what I'm getting. I mean, it's nice to have it, but I haven't had anyone ask me for a longer video in a long time.
Yeah, you have a reputation, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
I have it. I mean, if you've got it, keep it if someone needs to see it, but it wouldn't be so much to selling. If you're the one and they have to really convince someone else to bring you in, they might want to see more, but it's rare, but you always want to have it, but it's rare that they would use it. I would not send someone a 20-minute video, or I would say, this is a longer video, you know, just watch the first few minutes or whatever you feel comfortable. They're not going to watch 20-minute videos of everyone on a proposal.
Good. Hey, and Cindy, it just brings up a real quick point. We were talking last week about, we had Chris Bliss on who did that amazing viral video with the Beatles song, Juggling the Three, and he talked about how it changed his career. And I know there's this other guy who does a lot of corporate speaking who did that evolution of dance. I forget about him. Where do you think things like that play into the whole public perception? I mean, Chris certainly spoke about how his availability went down to zero after that thing hit 100 million hits. Is that something... people are tied into this stuff nowadays. I mean, it's the world that people are living in. Yeah, and then,
people call me and want the evolution of Dan Guy. And then there's another guy who did, like, the shadow thing, too. It's a Wonderful World.
Yep.
I had people calling about that after they saw the video. If you've got a video that resonates, I mean, it could change your life. We've seen it happen.
Good.
I mean, Justin Bieber started
his
video. And people following and looking and saying, hey, we want to, you know, find the guy. That's how his whole career was launched.
Yeah. So, we talked about that last week, and we're putting together something I'll talk about today. So, well, neat. Yeah. Good. I just wanted to add that in while we're talking about videos. Any others, Sarah?
Yeah, Benjamin.
Oh, and wait, let me check with Cindy. Shoot, I'm sorry, Cindy. You've been on an hour, and that's what you said you had. Where are you at? Do you need to run right now?
Yeah, I can go a little longer. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. 2 more questions, and I'm not doing anything else. I'm done.
Go ahead, Benjamin. You're on.
Hi, Cindy. I heard your comments about how useful it is to pin down a price range and give you an exact range. So I'm curious as to what the ranges are common that you would hear or be offering to clients. Also, I'm curious, I don't think you can look at it today, but I'm curious what range my agent-friendly site and demo would be speaking to. Based on what I've put up there already, I don't know, does it show the quality of a $10,000 act or does it show the quality of a $5,000 act? So that's my question.
Well, it's not always about the quality of the act. You could have a killer act, but if you're not as well known, then that's really going to determine your price. I mean, I have got some $5,000 act that I know will be $20,000 act very soon. It's just that they don't have the credibility and they're not as well known as that. So as far as ranges go, for example, if you want five, but you'll take a $3,000 every once in a while, that's the information I need to know from you so I know how to market you. Like, do you want me to, if someone doesn't have $5,000, do I waste your time if I've got a $4,000 offer? And then that kind of direct me. But as far as quality of your act, I mean, it will come. If you've got a killer act and you know that you're worth $10,000 and you're the same level as the ones getting $10,000, the $10,000 acts might have been, you know, on Saturday Night Live. I mean, some of the people on Saturday Night, they started off quoting me $10,000 and they were on Saturday Night Live. They would have probably never had a stand-up career, but because they had it, they could at least get that. And I thought, well, that won't last long as soon as they hone it. So even if you're great, you're going to have to start where you can get the most exposure. One of my friends just ate two Showtime specials, and she is still taking offers of, you know, $2,000 to $5,000. And it's going to get big for her, but here's what she says. I will take as much work as I can possibly get. The money does not matter now because it will come. Because when people see me, I get more gigs. She says, I have never done a gig that someone has not come up and wanted to hire me for other divisions, other regions. She says, every time I perform, even if it's a smaller club, I am seen, I am noticed. And at one point a few years ago, it turned into a deal with Digwell Productions. So someone saw her in a comedy club where she might have made $100. They said, will you write as a pilot? And she said, yes. And it turned into a six-figure deal. So now that she's back on the market and doing stand-up again, she says, I will work as much as I can. Do not worry about the money. Get me the exposure. And she is absolutely dead on right. And she's already got two Showtime specials in the can just waiting. And she, if I offered her $2,000 today, she would take it because she wants exposure and she knows the money will come.
It's a great thing to hold on to, you guys. And it's always better to be doing that. And I know a lot of you are doing that. So congratulations. And it aligns with what Cindy's telling us about this woman, a client of hers, and also...
Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, and also what Cindy said earlier is what Cindy said earlier about you never know if your small show is going to turn into your next biggest show. So, you know, let's realize the magic of the profession we're in, and we're not in a typical growth career here that just follows some arc, some line. We're in the kind of thing that can happen exponentially, as Crystal shared with us last week. And thank you.
That's that experience right now. I actually did a children's party for 10 kids, and I'm finishing negotiating one that may be $9,000 to $15,000 for a three-day appearance.
Nice.
So, yeah, that is true.
Don't underestimate the magic of what we're doing here. Hey, good. And good. So anyone else, Sarah?
Yeah, one more question. Anthony, you've got your hand up. Go ahead.
My question was, if a performer has a few different acts, like maybe juggles or does something else, and he's reaching out to producers, is it better to have a short montage video of all his skills or maybe a three-minute video of each kind of discipline? What would be the most convenient?
I think in the beginning, maybe a montage of it. I mean, it's a tough call. I think it's good for you to have those on hand and maybe make them available on your website. The feature's juggling, the feature's stand-up, the feature's light at hand. But if you've only got one shot, then you want them to see what's out there. So
gotcha.
I would have one, like if you've only got one, you know, you got your one shot, let's say they've got 5 minutes they're going to send on you, what do you want them to see? And then have everything else. If someone says, I'm looking for a juggler, send them your juggling video. And the fact that you also do stand-up, that's great. You can always refer to that. Or say, I'm an excellent host. I can add some humor into your entire program and be your headline act. And I love to sell people doing that because I would much rather see a comedian host an award banquet or something than the talking head. And it makes the whole event much better. So I've improved a lot of events just by looking and listening and coming to them with my opinion, saying, you know, you're losing half your audience because the awards are way too long, and the talent coming on at 10, they're drunk and tired. Let's bring the talent on at 9. Bring in, for example, I did a Saturday Night Live reunion with John Lovett and Kevin Nealon and Victoria Jackson. Let them do their act, roll into the awards, and instead of having people do speeches, which no one wants to hear, they come up and get their award, they get their picture made with the SNL people, and they sit down, and it changed the meetings dramatically, and that's by just paying attention and looking. So if you've got different skills, for sure, listen. But look at it as your one shot. That when I did my web page and everything, it's like someone's going to go to this. If they only spend 1 minute, what do you need them to be? Because that's how it is.
Crazy.
I don't like it, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, and that's the way it is, yeah.
Thank
Cindy, you know, so her website is Smart Entertainment, which you guys do take a peek at that. I'm going to be in touch with her about a way you guys can get a pass to a few minutes of her eyes, and we'll work that out and get you that information. And I just want to thank you so much, Cindy.
You're welcome.
You bring a lot of insight into some of the theoretical stuff we're talking about, and you expand upon my experience in this business over 30 years, and a lot of it, over half of it's been in your world too.
It has.
Thanks for just bringing.
I'll tell everyone on the call that Barry is very unique in what he does. He is a brilliant marketer, and when I met him, he's one of the only people I've ever met that had the talent and the skill to be on stage, the creativity to continue to change his act, and the marketing ability to market himself. And at one point, he just threw up his hands because no one can market me as well as I can, and he did it, and he did an amazing job. And he is someone that I come to for marketing advice, and I can't say that of any other artist I've ever worked with. So I know that you're in good hands with him, and I was thrilled when he told me that he was helping other people to understand the industry and to grow marketing-wise, because it honestly can change your life and your career and the way you do things. Just focusing on that is a huge first step. So I am looking forward to talking with Barry about what I'm doing, because I really do appreciate his advice and his invite, because he's great at this.
Well, thank you for that. That was pretty much exactly as I wrote it. Thank you.
Yeah, I read it.
thank you so much, Cindy. I really appreciate your time with these people, and I'll be in touch with you, because I know a few of them would like to at least have you peek at their stuff and maybe find a way to cleanly and efficiently work their way into your database. Thank you so much, you have a lunch meeting, right?
I would love to see their stuff, and all the stuff that we talk about, I think you know how to put it out there, so feel free to send me your information, and if you want me to, Barry can direct you on how he wants to do that, but I will look at all your videos and your websites and everything, because, again, I'm searching for new talent, and because you're coming through Barry, this is a way to open the door. If you cold call me, it will go to my assistant and use it in our database. I might see it, I might not, but I'll definitely take the time to look at it, because I know that you're serious about that, and that already says a lot about you and your professionalism. So I would definitely welcome that opportunity.
Well, we're going to finish this up with some other stuff that's important to life too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Cindy, and have a great day.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.